Today's Cloudcast is sponsored by Datadog, a cloud-scale monitoring service that provides comprehensive visibility into cloud, hybrid, and multi-cloud environments with over 350 integrations. Datadog unifies your metrics, logs, and distributed request traces in one platform so that you can investigate and troubleshoot issues across every layer of your stack. Use Datadog's rich, customizable dashboards and algorithmic alerts to ensure redundancy across multi-cloud deployments and monitor cloud migrations in real time. Try Datadog for yourself with a free trial, and you receive a complimentary t-shirt. That 14-day trial can be found just by going to datadog.com/cloudcast. That's datadog.com/cloudcast.
Cloudcast Media presents from the massive studios in Raleigh, North Carolina. This is The Cloudcast with Aaron Delp and Brian Gracely, bringing you the best of cloud computing from around the world.
Good morning, good evening, wherever you are, and welcome back to The Cloudcast. We are coming to you live from the massive Cloudcast studios here in Raleigh, North Carolina. Yes, we are generally quarantined like everybody else, staying at home, staying away from other people, practicing social distancing. But hopefully all of that hard work and sacrifice will be for the good of things and hopefully slow down this curve and get the world back to normal. Hope everybody is doing well. Hopefully people are staying safe and healthy in general. Not a whole lot of news out there. As some of you may have heard, there are other things going on that are distracting a lot of people. I did want to hit on a couple things in terms of cloud news of the week, mostly around companies that have been Cloudcast alum and have been part of the Cloudcast for a while. HashiCorp, who we've known those folks for a very, very long time, all the way back to when they were just a small company doing Vagrant and have now grown up quite a bit, just took a $175 million round of funding. So congratulations to those folks. Around a $5 billion valuation. So huge growth over the last number of years. Congratulations to the team over there. For folks who may not necessarily know a bunch about HashiCorp, I know they've been on the show a number of times, but if you're kind of trying to understand what they do, the types of products they have, and maybe why they have such a large valuation, the good folks over at Software Defined Talk did a nice kind of overview of their technologies, both the open source and commercial over there. So maybe take a listen to their last episode. Second of all, another Cloudcast alum, Rancher Labs, took a $40 million round of funding this year. We had both back when they just started Rancher Labs, as well as back when they were cloud.com, have been on the show. So we've known Shannon and Shen and a lot of the folks over there for a long time. So congratulations to them as well, building out their Kubernetes business and some of the edge technologies they're starting to build. And then finally, a little bit of sad news in our industry. The folks from O'Reilly, who have put on lots and lots of events over the years, we've been very lucky to have a number of their speakers come on and be guests and talk about the types of experience they have and they're bringing to those events. Unfortunately, are shutting down all of their events, not just for this year, but for the foreseeable future. So shutting down their events business, sort of a sad day. I know a lot of people have been to many O'Reilly events, whether it was Velocity or OzCon or some other event around the world. A lot of work around open source, a lot of work around developers, and a lot of people who, kind of got their first chance to get to know those worlds through their events. So sad to see that happen, but we've been thankful for always having the O'Reilly speakers on the show, and hopefully that community will continue to be available to the Cloudcast to come speak about their experience. So with that, we're going to wrap it up. We do have a topic this week that we're very, very excited to get into. A lot of you know, we've been very interested to see the evolution of GitHub, and we're going to dive right into that after the break. Today's show is brought to you by MongoDB. When you need to focus on building applications, do you want to get bogged down by your database? Definitely not. MongoDB is an intuitive, flexible document database that lets you get to building. MongoDB's document model is a natural way to represent data so you can focus on what matters. And MongoDB Atlas is the best way to use MongoDB. It's a global cloud database service that gives you all the developer productivity of MongoDB, plus the added simplicity of a fully managed database service. You can get started for free with MongoDB Atlas at mongodb.com/atlas. That's mongodb.com/atlas. And we're back. And folks, if you've been paying attention to the shows for, say, the last 6 months or so, we have been kind of hinting around at Aaron and I's interest around a lot of things that are going on over at GitHub. And, we're always looking at, how is the cloud landscape evolving? How are tools evolving? And, are there things that are starting to sort of shape or reshape, what's been going on in the cloud world? And that we've had this fascination with not only GitHub, but really how GitHub's been evolving from just the place where your code goes, you collaborate around code, to really a lot more actionable things that happen for developers, development teams, how they're building, how they're deploying, all the things that go around that. And we've been wondering wanted to dig into this for a while, and we finally have tracked down the right people to go about doing that. So very, very excited to have Chris Patterson with us, who is product manager for GitHub Actions. And luckily for us, Chris is actually local here to North Carolina. So Chris, great to have you on the show. Welcome.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here to talk about GitHub Actions.
Yeah. So, for folks that may not have met you or around in the North Carolina area, give us a little bit of your background. You've been around helping developers for a long time, but give us some of your background.
Sure. So, my longtime sort of educational background actually wasn't in software development. It was a music education major at cool. Appalachian State University.
Nice.
I grew up locally here in Chapel Hill, so I've been around the area a long time. Out of school, I kind of fell into software to some degree. I'd always had a fascination with software and computers, and I started working for a company called TogetherSoft, which some people may or may not know. It was local to the area, got acquired by Borland, and I spent a number of years there working on as both a developer and then eventually kind of helping people with what was called ALM at the time.
Yeah.
And then I moved from there to Microsoft, working with the Team Foundation Server Group as a program manager on a variety of things, but always still in that sort of developer services space. And, you know, over time, I worked on things ranging from, you know, sort of test automation, you know, unit testing frameworks for Microsoft and load testing up to eventually about 8 or 9 years ago, I started working on continuous integration and continuous deployment, kind of the core of what we now call DevOps today, with Team Foundation Server and the Team Foundation Service at the time, and then what eventually became Azure Pipelines and Azure DevOps Services. So I've definitely been doing this for a long time.
Yeah.
Last year, as part of sort of post-Microsoft finishing the acquisition of GitHub, you know, we started to look at, you know, what are the things that, you know, we need to do to sort of advance GitHub. And, you know, GitHub Actions had been sort of launched or announced, I guess, in what would that be? November of 2018.
Right.
And so it became logical for some of us who had been working in this space for a while to kind of start looking at that and seeing what we could do to help improve it.
Yeah. So you've definitely been around developer pain points and sort of the challenges of things being, you know, sort of lots of different tools, and sometimes they come together, but sometimes they're separate. You know, like I said in the introduction, I've been very interested in seeing how GitHub has been expanding out on that. You know, originally it was the place where code lived, the place where people collaborated, but we're seeing it really expand into more actionable things. Can you give folks a sense, maybe who maybe haven't been completely paying attention to it, like what does that bigger picture look like of what developers can now do or teams can now do around kind of all of these things with GitHub these days?
Sure. I mean, I think the core of GitHub still remains the same, right?
Sure.
The core idea is where developers collaborate on their code. I just think that over time, the idea of what it means to collaborate on your code has expanded for people. You know, the idea of having something like a CI system that's just kind of part of the system of the place where you collaborate on code is sort of expected,
right?
You know, while GitHub continues to support, we have great partners in this area, and we have great APIs and things for people to integrate. There's just something, you know, very nice for developers about having that thing built in. And so in the case of what I work on with GitHub Actions and kind of broadly the more what we call code to cloud or DevOps kind of area, you know, we took a look and said, you know, what's kind of the next logical thing for collaboration? And the idea, original sort of germ of idea behind GitHub Actions was, well, how do we help automate collaboration? Right. So, you know, things like Probot and some other things that existed and still do, but they required a lot of setup. You know, I have to go set up a Probot service somewhere and pay for that hosting. Well, what if we could, as part of GitHub, just offer that kind of as a platform? And so when you saw the first version of GitHub Actions come out, it was very, very focused around, hey, you've got an event, whether it's somebody commenting on an issue or pushing or pull request or all of these different events that GitHub has. What kind of automation do you want to run? Sort of like if this, then that kind of thing but for developers, for GitHub. And that was really cool. And I still think that's one of the coolest features of GitHub Actions, the fact that it is a bit more than just kind of a CI system. However, it became very clear from the community, they're like, this is great, but we also really needed to do CI and we needed to do CI well. And so we took a step back and made some changes to the way GitHub Actions works and added some capabilities to really make it more of a CI and will eventually be more of a CI/CD system. You know, things like supporting more than just Linux. So we support, you know, Mac OS, Windows, and Linux, all equally, being sort of that the core thing of what I think about when it comes to CI, right? You can't just be focused in one area. You know, people write software for lots of platforms, for many platforms, and they need to be able to both build and run their unit tests in that place.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that's, you know, that's another one of those sort of fascinating things that if you think about, like, even the evolution of Microsoft, which, you know, we know GitHub is part of Microsoft, but also, you know, is sort of fiercely independent as well. You know, just to see that equality being applied to, you know, Windows, Mac OS, Linux, all the other things, you know, it just speaks to the evolution of what developers want these days, right? They want to use the tools they want, and they want them right there at their fingertips. So, yeah, it's very, very cool to see that coming together. Let's dive a little bit into both, you know, kind of GitHub Actions and maybe even GitHub Packages. You know, for people that are new to this, kind of give us the basics. You know, you talked about, hey, some action takes place around your code, but kind of give, you know, walk us through sort of some of the broader capabilities and then how they interact.
Sure. So I think it's useful to step back and to sort of level set some terminology, which will help this discussion. So GitHub Actions is the overall product, and the actions are kind of those reusable bits. And those are the things when you say, you know, uses some repo, right, at some ref. And, you know, you put a bit of code, whether it's a Docker file or a JavaScript program in that repo, and then we execute that within what we call a workflow. So when I take those actions, I put them together in the workflow YAML file, and then that creates a run. And then the really cool thing is I can have that execute when any from whenever somebody pushes, right? So if I want to do CI, I can absolutely on push for even a particular branch, or, you know, only on pull request, for example, I can have a set of jobs run that use a bunch of these individual actions. Or I could do something different. For example, one of the really cool use cases that we've seen was from the maintainer of Yarn for Yarn 2. One of the things that he did was early on, he wrote an action that actually, anytime somebody created an issue, if they had a code block in the issue that was sort of outlining what the bug or the reproducing the bug had, he would take that out and then run that bit of code against the latest version of Yarn to see if maybe that bug had already been fixed, right? So that was kind of a really neat kernel of an idea, use case of saying, well, how can we take this idea of not just basic CI and not just running, you know, a suite of 1,000 unit tests on, you know, a change, but also as people find problems and just automating these other things and really help sort of increase the breadth of a single developer or the couple of small developers on these open source projects. And so that idea remains today, and we'll continue to develop ways we can not only have a great, you know, CI automation, and then eventually, you know, we'll talk about sort of more DevOps downstream of deployment and things like that, but also that idea of like just general automation, like what is the little thing that you can do that can make use, whether it's within an enterprise or an open source project, make, you know, you more powerful, right? To expand your capabilities and to frankly make your time, expand your time essentially, which is what automation does.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think it's great. Just one quick kind of clarification. So obviously everybody knows GitHub, the, you know, GitHub.com, the cloud service. And then there's also like GitHub Enterprise. Are these things kind of being extended out to the GitHub Enterprise that people run on-prem, or is it still kind of an evolution, or is there a thought around that?
Absolutely. So the way we think about it is we have GitHub Enterprise Cloud, which is really just part of GitHub.com with some additional features.
Okay.
And then there's GitHub Enterprise Server, which is the thing that you run in your own data center.
Okay.
Actually, one of the major focuses for the team that builds GitHub Actions is GitHub Enterprise Server.
Okay.
For the first part of this year, hopefully shipping not too distant future, talk more about this at Satellite, or at least the virtual Satellite event that's coming up. Definitely getting Actions and all of these capabilities into GitHub Enterprise Server and having them at parity, at least to a large degree. So, okay. You know, probably the only thing that you won't see out of the gate in Enterprise Server that you have in GitHub.com are the GitHub hosted runners, right? So you'll have to go set up your own compute to run your builds or run your, your Actions workflows with your GitHub Enterprise server, you won't be able to use the ones yet, at least, that are hosted as part of GitHub.com.
Yeah. Help me if I'm understanding it or thinking about it the right way. So when the concept of serverless first came out, right, whether it was, AWS Lambda or Azure Functions or whatever, people went through this whole thing of like, okay, I'm trying to compare it to something. And eventually the people who kind of really dug into it were like, I can now think in very kind of finite actions. And there's mm-hmm. things that I don't have to think about. I don't have to think about capacity planning, or I don't have to think about, is there sort of a similar parallel to what maybe you do with applications with serverless to what Actions are doing kind of around all these aspects of code? Like you said, has something been tested? Is there an action? Then is that a good sort of similar analogy to make, or is that way off base?
Oh, no, I think it's an excellent analogy to make. There are some nuances that are a little different, but the general idea is certainly if you're in the cloud, you shouldn't have to think too much about, where this action is running. I mean, to some degree, obviously, in certain CI cases, you want to make sure it's running on a Windows machine or running on a Linux machine, right, or running on a Mac machine. But kind of beyond that, you have an event and you have something you need to do, and those should just kind of automatically for you. There's some practicalities of how far things can actually scale, but largely speaking, it's a good analogy.
Yeah. Okay. And in terms of packages, like I was digging into kind of all the things that are out there in the ecosystem, I was sort of surprised, maybe I shouldn't have been, at just how many types of actions and packages are out there. I mean, it's 3,000 or 4,000 different things that you can do and things you can interact with. How do packages weave in or kind of complement Actions? How do the two play together?
Sure. So packages, GitHub packages is, goals to be obviously a great package hosting service for a wide variety of different package types. GitHub Actions is a place where you can both consume and produce packages, right? And the idea is that, as we use them together more and as we continue to develop them, we can do very interesting things like, for example, we can do guarantee that a particular version of a package, we can guarantee the version of code that built it, right, over time. We can make sure that you can have that full sort of software chain of trust, if you will. We can also do really cool things with like Dependabot, where you can consume a package, have a dependency on it. It can see there's a new version and automatically open a pull request, that uses that new version that then also automatically runs your CI tests, right, via your Actions workflow. And then if everything completes, maybe automatically merges, right? So keeping to tie those things together and build that sort of virtuous life cycle and that kind of software chain of trust, as we talk about it, between GitHub Actions as packages really is part of the strong vision there. And, over time, as we kind of get to the point where the NPM acquisition completes, hopefully we definitely plan to look at extending that throughout that community as well.
Right. Right. Yeah. And as I think about this sort of in the broader context of DevOps and some other stuff, like you mentioned early on, I hear a lot of people talk about SRE and they talk about DevOps and they're all fantastic concepts. And then at some point people go, well, but I don't know if I have people that have the right skills or, I still have to get over, people and process and org chart things. I mean, it feels like to a certain extent you're kind of giving people the freedom to say, hey, look, if you want to start weaving those things in, and you have a little more control over them, you can kind of get past some of those internal organizational things you have. I mean, is that a kind of a thought process you have of like, we're just building so that, DevOps and SRE can just happen and people will figure out the right way to apply people and so forth to it?
I think that the better way to talk about it is to try to meet the developers kind of where they are and, mm-hmm. and provide the tools necessary for them to get their jobs done.
Okay.
There's a lot of other interesting sort of aspects of the overall DevOps sort of practices that I think that we, GitHub are definitely looking at. If you think about like the things like the SIML acquisition, which is really based around code security and other things that will probably grow out of that over time. I do think there's an interesting dynamic nature of, you have the developers that really want to get a job done and they want to do it where they are, right? That's great. But also there are people, very rightly, certainly in large enterprises and especially regulated businesses that need to be able to some extent, not control isn't the best word, but certainly guide the direction that those developers go and make sure they're meeting various compliance needs for that business, which are, you know, from a developer's perspective, you look at that and you're like, that just feels like overhead. But, you know, those compliance needs are very real. Yeah. And you know, there's very real financial and, you know, potentially other issues if you don't meet them. And so, you know, if we look at kind of how we want to position this and as we make investments going forward, you know, coming up from the developer, they can do what they need to do, but also coming down from whether it's SRE or compliance, and giving them ability to put the right, what I'll call guide rails in place to make sure that, you know, the developer can do their job. They're not, you're not getting in the way, but the compliance bits and security bits just happen.
Yeah. No, no, and that makes a ton of sense in terms of, you know, it's what platforms are supposed to do. It should make it easier for compliance and auditing to be able to go, okay, walk me through where this is, tell me what you've done, show me how you've documented it, where is it, what changes were made. Now that makes a ton of sense. You know, to the extent that you can you give us some sense? You know, this has been out for, you know, more than a year now. Like you said, you've seen more investment from a GitHub perspective as the Microsoft thing has come along. Can you give us some sense of like how quickly this is being adopted, or what are some of the interesting sort of velocity or use case things that you've seen out of people taking advantage of it?
Yeah, absolutely. We've seen great growth. We don't have exact numbers that we share. The main one, though, that you actually already alluded to that I think is super exciting is the number of actions in the marketplace. So we have just shy of 3,000 today. You know, when we launched at GA, we had about 2,000. So that's really great growth as far as people producing these different reusable actions bits that developers can take advantage of. You know, the other thing we've seen, which I find even more fascinating, is there's almost an order of magnitude more of those that aren't actually published to the marketplace. You know, that developers are creating for their own use cases and you know, for their own private repos and enterprises are using that we see used across the service. And I think that's really fascinating if you think about just kind of the depth of engagement it takes to go write something custom. You know, writing any custom extension for any platform is time, right? And I hope that time is well spent for these customers, and it seems like it is.
Yeah.
And so they're definitely coming up with their own use cases with actions that probably don't make sense for the general public, but for whatever their business is, for whatever their application is, it makes sense for them to go develop that. So I think that's super exciting.
Yeah. Well, and I think that it speaks to, you know, the challenge and the kind of gray line that you always have to have as a platform is, you know, you're only going to be as successful as people can build on top of the platform, the ecosystem can build on top of it. And, you know, you're adding things where you think people want stuff, and then you want your ecosystem. I know we had a company on like 2 weeks ago called ZenHub, who was, you know, they basically said we built our whole business as an extension on top of GitHub. It's for, you know, collaboration and you know, kind of visibility and project management. And it was like, yeah, that seems like a very natural extension. So it's very cool to see that happening, to see the ecosystem feel comfortable building on top of these things that they can add new value to.
Absolutely. And, you know, going forward, we're also listening to customers with things they want. So, you know, since we GA'd, you know, we've shipped things like dependency and artifact caching, which was a huge request from our customer base. You know, the ability to say, hey, there's stuff like NPM dependencies or even build outputs that don't change a lot. Is there a way to not have to reproduce those or re-download those from internet storage every time? So we added that. You know, we've rolled out self-hosted runners at the repo level, and in the fairly near future, you'll have the ability to have self-hosted runners across your org. And, you know, kind of back to the sort of function metaphor, while it's great to have the GitHub model where we just handle the compute for you, there are always use cases where you need to sort of step into what might be the infrastructure as a service side of things, right?
Right.
Where I need a really big machine, you know, I need a huge machine with a bunch of cores and a bunch of memory, or I need a very specialized machine with, you know, special GPUs or whatever the case may be. You know, so we want to enable that full spectrum.
Yeah,
for customers, and that's definitely come out. And then finally, one last thing is an API. So that was another big glaring hole, kind of back to the platform idea. A platform without sort of a nice broad public API definitely has some limitations. And so, you know, actually just yesterday we GA'd the Actions API to just enable even more capabilities.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. Yeah, we'll get that posted in the show notes so folks can go take a look at it. I'm curious, you know, you just sort of made a comment about, you know, sometimes things can run, you know, you can actually do compute with GitHub, and then sometimes it has to sort of move over to some sort of IaaS platform. You know, there's never a perfect answer, but like, are there rough guidelines? Do you see people that are actually running stuff that, quote unquote, they'd consider production out of GitHub now? Or is it still sort of, you know, this should be for dev and test, and then once you get into production, you should move over to one of, you know, some sort of IaaS type of cloud? Or is it not that clear anymore? Is it sort of getting blurry?
I think the line's a little blurrier. Okay. From a sort of CI side of things, we definitely have people running fully production workloads completely out of GitHub.
Okay.
They're using all of our hosted infrastructure. Our hosted infrastructure is secure.
Yeah.
You know, we make sure that it's refreshed every time. We never share anything between multiple repos and all of that stuff. And
right.
Networking is taken care of and all of that. So we absolutely have people doing complete. In fact, we do. So, for example, have you tried the GitHub mobile app?
Yeah.
So all of that is run through GitHub Actions. So the CI for the mobile app, the testing process, including the publishing to the App Store, is all run through GitHub Actions.
Okay.
And that is up in on the Actions compute platform, and it's absolutely a production workload.
Very cool. Very, very cool. So sort of last thing, because I know you've got a busy schedule and so forth. You know, you mentioned the upcoming virtual event. Any sort of hints at stuff that people should be kind of, you know, looking out for, big trends that you'll be highlighting, or, you know, some new stuff that might be coming?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think definitely keep your ear open at that event for some information around GitHub Enterprise Server and GitHub Actions. I think that's a very safe thing. Maybe some other interesting capabilities with respect to you know, some of the cool security stuff that we've been doing. So I think those are definitely areas you should, and more information. Maybe by then we'll have even more information about NPM. I'm not sure.
Okay.
For sure, though, keep an eye out for as that, you know, we complete that acquisition. You know, I think there'll definitely be some cool stuff there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, Chris, you know, we will have kind of all of your links and stuff in the show notes. You know, if folks want to reach out, is there a good way to kind of reach out to the Actions team and kind of ask questions or engage with them?
So, I mean, several of us on Twitter. I'm on Twitter. We have the GitHub Actions has its own area within the GitHub community forum.
Okay.
So we definitely think that's a great place. I'm personally very active there, as are some of the other members of the Actions team. And we have some great community managers that sort of help us out there. So I think those are two places where people feel free to reach out if they have questions and see if we can get those answers for them.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, listen, this is a topic we've been wanting to cover for quite a while. We're very glad that you gave us some time today. It's great to have, for us, a local resource around North Carolina. But Chris, thanks so much for the time. And folks, as always, thank you for listening. I know folks are going through a lot of things with just some changes in the world, in the economy, and working from home. But we thank you for always listening to the show, for telling a friend, for rating on iTunes and other places. And with that, we will wrap it up, and we will talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to The Cloudcast. Please visit thecloudcast.net to find more shows, show notes, videos, and everything social media.